This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to Enterprise Biz Bytes. My name is Rich Bradbury. I'm in the studio with
Christine Wong
and Majida Hashim.
We are going to be with you all the way through until 1 o'clock on this Thursday, the 7th of December, 2017. Nice little warm day outside.
Yeah.
There's no rain, a little bit of cloud.
And here we are.
And here we are stuck in a studio. Mm. Never mind. We do like it though. It is Throwback Thursday, so if you have any silly photos you want to send us, feel free to tweet us at BFM Radio, just for a bit of fun. Also, stories we have lined up today. I want to talk about emails and how they are the bane of my life and how some of the problems that come with emails we can be fixing. Then we're going to move on to this wonderful Spotify playlist that Majida has discovered.
A new update,
yeah. Yes. We'll then be talking about 3D printed objects that connect to Wi-Fi without electronics.
Yep.
I'm a little bit confused. We'll then be talking about a company who's developed very good single-use coffee cups.
Mm-hmm.
And then wrapping up with some drones down in Singapore. And I'm not talking about the people. First story is about... right, so 40% of us wish we had fewer emails. Yes, hands up in studio. Who believes that? Yes.
Oh yeah.
All right. So, the majority of us check for new messages around the clock, and this is according to research by Adobe. Are we our own worst enemy when it comes to our inbox? Is the question that was posed. So while the overwhelming majority of people, that's 92%, say email is effective, it definitely has its frustrations. In its fourth annual State of Enterprise Work report, the software provider Workfront surveyed more than 2,000 enterprise workers and identified the most common pain points. What we see is constant gripe about emails. There are times when content is best communicated through email. The key is knowing when to use it, right? So here are some of the biggest problems, four of them, dealing with email, according to this survey, and how you can solve them. Emails that are too long.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Right. Why it's a problem, how to fix it. Long emails are a problem when they relay information that is better conveyed face-to-face or in a phone call. There's nothing worse than getting an email and reading all the way through it and going, can you just not have called me about this? It would have taken 25 seconds. Instead, I have to read through all this rubbish, right?
Especially when it's repetitive and it's over and over and over
exactly.
again. Right.
Especially when you disagree on something. It becomes like this ping-pong match of emails,
yeah.
And you're having to follow your thread all the way through. I'd rather you just pick up the phone and go, you were wrong, or I was wrong,
and this
is how we deal with it. Yeah,
unless of course that person is really far away, if that's on the other side of the world, and that would be a really expensive phone call.
Right. So the only time when sending a long email is okay is when somebody doesn't need to react immediately. For example, you know, somebody who's away doing something and you need to fill them in on something. A lengthy email then is okay. Right.
I mean, for me, right, you either approach an email as a kind of presentation slide or a letter.
Right.
Choose one.
Yeah.
You know, if it's a letter, it's something that isn't urgent. It's something where you're kind of telling a story or telling someone about something that's happened or whatever. So that's like a letter format. Presentation format is just like, use bullet points, please.
Bish, bosh, bosh.
There is email formatting for a reason. Yeah. Use it. Thank you.
Right. Number two, too much back and forth. Why it's a problem and how to fix it. Tied in with lengthy emails is trying to follow a conversation through lengthy email threads, right?
Mm.
55% of all respondents of these 2,000 people admitted they found it difficult. A shortcut for dealing with long and confusing email conversations is this. Collapse the entire thread and bring original email to the beginning. Provide a quick summary of the information you gathered from the other replies and then make your point.
Yep.
Kind of like you were saying, Christine, right?
Yeah, these threads are actually a blessing in disguise, but I've got a love-hate relationship with it. I like to know that what are the history of it, who brought up when, where. But when you've gone to back and forth so many times, and I've had threads that go into hundreds of emails, and you're going like, I said this last month, and you're digging through the thread one by one.
I remember years ago, I was with a company, and one of the guys there, when he replied to your email, what he would do is he would highlight the sentence that he was replying to and copy it underneath and then respond directly underneath it. And it was like, oh, I kind of like that.
That's good.
Yeah. Makes
sense. There is also a quote function in email as well.
There is, which is very useful. Please do use that. number three, being CC'd when it's not relevant. 54% of respondents being copied on emails say they don't need to be CC'd in that email. And usually those CCs are someone covering their butt by looping in everyone, and everyone might need to be aware of the message, right?
Yeah.
I think we've all been a bit guilty of that, though, to be honest.
I come from, for the past 12 years, I was in corporate companies, and they do this all the time, just to cover because they want to cover their butts. They go like, I'm going to CC this boss, this boss, this boss, this boss, and everybody gets a copy in the entire department. Just so that it's like, see, I told everybody about it and you didn't read it, so it's your fault right. now.
To be fair, I think that's kind of a good and a bad thing. You know, on the one hand, of course, sometimes it's annoying to get an email in your inbox that technically doesn't have anything to do with you. But if it is slightly relevant and you just want to let someone know, then that is a good way of keeping people in the loop as well.
Exactly.
So just walk the line.
It's
walk
better to be in the know than not, I think.
Exactly.
Final one, a flurry of reply all responses related to what we've just said. Similar to being copied, obviously, on irrelevant emails, reply alls can quickly clutter up your inbox and are frustrating. 50% of all the people that responded, you can see these building, and the best technique is just nip it in the bud. Reply with, "I'm not necessary on this list, please remove me," or "Thank you, I've read this, I don't need any more information." Simple as that, right?
Yeah.
Mm. One other thing that I'm going to amend to the end of this list, let's make it number 5, is people who forget to BCC. Right? Especially when you're in this industry.
Yeah.
We receive emails that are time sensitive. They're also stuff that is embargoed and all of this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And the amount of times that I could have mined emails from various different companies, from CEOs and from various other radio stations is ridiculous. Use the BCC function, please. I do not want 1,000 email addresses cluttering up
and
my email.
And you know, everyone is there and everybody has your email address now.
Yeah.
And everybody is typing reply all. I mean, there are a few of these memes or one of those gag emails that went around that everybody is now replying everybody and there are 100 people on the CC list.
Yeah. It's stupid.
Simple
thing. Right. Get in touch if you want to, folks. We're on Twitter at BFM Radio and, of course, on WhatsApp 018-789-8899. Next story, Spotify's Wrapped feature is now live to break down your 2017 listening habits.
Yeah.
I checked it. It's cool.
Yeah.
Majida, tell me about it.
So this morning I got into my car. Turn on my Spotify and want to drive to work, and Spotify comes up with this big pink screen and says that your top songs for 2017, would you like to see it? When you click it, you will see two playlists. One is your top songs for 2017 and another playlist that says the ones that got away. And this is really cool because what they've done is they've gone through, Spotify have gone through all your songs that you have put in various playlists or you've been listening to for the past 1 year, so since January till now. And they've taken the songs that you've listened over and over again, and you've played many, many times. They put it into one nice playlist. And it's really cool because you are listening to what you used to listen to in the beginning of the year and middle time of the year. So all the things that you've gone through, you've probably marked it with the kind of music that reflected that
right.
mood. So that's pretty interesting, especially when you've had certain things happen in your life.
yes.
And so,
I can tell you, like looking through my playlist today, it made me realize how emo I was earlier on in the
right?
year. Yeah.
I listened to a lot of Spanish songs at the beginning of the year and a lot of German songs at the end of the year.
What is wrong with you?
I know. I like foreign songs. I appreciate international music, right?
On your own little European tour.
I think it's a little more worrying because I listened to the soundtrack of a show that I watch called Crazy Ex-Girlfriend, which deals a lot with pretty difficult topics such as like mental health and things like that. But the number one song from that show that I played that's in my 2017 playlist is just a song that says, "Tell me I'm okay, Patrick." And I don't know what that says about me that I listen to it so much. Just a song telling someone else that she's okay.
Right.
Yeah, and
worrying.
It appears on the playlist to remind you that you have listened to
it's
this
like,
song.
Yes, you need constant reassurance from a fictional character. Well done.
The feature of the ones that got away I thought was pretty interesting. The description of that playlist is, "Here's a collection of songs you wish you discovered earlier in the year." And these are the songs that you not necessarily have listened to throughout the year, but because you liked this song, you probably like these songs too. And I was looking through this list. I wouldn't necessarily click on them myself to want to listen to them, but it's interesting to go through it maybe a bit later to see whether or not did they get that right. But because where that main playlist is concerned, the top songs for 2017, it's really accurate.
Right.
It's so reflective. I had, because I run a social enterprise company and I let a lot of the people who come to work with us play what they like on my Spotify. And now I'm listening to it and I'm remembering the people who I worked with and what they were going through.
Oh, that's nice.
And it's interesting. It's not necessarily the songs that I would listen to, but these are their songs. And it's the memory of them listening to the song that I'm reflecting back. It's this whole nostalgic thing at the end of the year, which is quite nice to think back to.
So in a way, if you listen to that playlist today, they're your Throwback Thursday tunes.
Exactly.
Indeed. Christine even raising eyebrows right there. Right, folks, we're going to take a short break. Definite throwback here. It is the Sonics with Louie Louie. When we come back, how 3D printed objects connect to Wi-Fi without electronics. If you're as confused as I am, stay tuned. We'll be right back on BFM 89.9.
Barry fronts Motown. BFM 89.9, the business station.
Welcome back to Enterprise BizBytes. My name is Rich Bradbury, in the studio with
Majida Hashim
and Christine Wong.
So, 3D printed objects connect to Wi-Fi without electronics. This is going to be difficult for me to understand. Christine, can you break this down and explain like I am 5 years old, please?
Yes. So science eludes me at the best of times, but I found this too interesting to actually skip out on. So what's happening is, University of Washington researchers are the first people to 3D print plastic objects and sensors that can collect useful data and, more importantly, communicate with other Wi-Fi connected devices entirely on their own. And these are made of essentially a conducive printing filament that mixes plastic with copper. But I'll kind of get onto that in a bit. So these models are actually going to be made available to the public as well. So 3D printing enthusiasts will be able to create objects out of commercially available plastics that can wirelessly communicate with other smart devices. And this is where, unfortunately, I'm going to have to get technical.
Uh-oh.
Right. So the way that this works is that they've employed what they call a backscatter technique. Mm. So this is how that works. An antenna is embedded in the 3D printed object. The object is made of this filament that mixes plastic with copper, and the antenna reflects radio signals emitted by a regular Wi-Fi router to basically kind of like read to encode information that is read by the Wi-Fi receiver.
Hang on, stop. Right. So the Wi-Fi receiver sends out its Wi-Fi signal.
Yes.
And because of the material that the object is made of, yes. It reflects it.
Yeah, so there's an antenna inside the object that reflects the Wi-Fi receive-y signal thing.
With you so far?
Yes, but it doesn't use any electric signal or anything. It's just a tiny little antenna thing.
All right.
Right. So within the 3D printed object, there are gears and springs. And physical motion will trigger these gears and springs. And these gears and springs will cause a conductive switch to intermittently connect or disconnect with the antenna and change its reflective state. So it's essentially just kind of flipping this little antenna on and off, on and off, on and off, on and off.
By motion. Just by motion, yeah.
And as we all know, on and off is basically the
ones
basis
and zeros.
Of computing, right? Yeah. So this information in the form of ones and zeros is encoded by the presence or absence of the tooth on a gear.
Oh.
Yes. So if the gear has no tooth, it's a zero. If the gear has a tooth, it's a one. So there's an on-off bit, and then there's a one and zero bit with the gears. And energy from a coil spring drives the gear system, and the width and pattern of the gear teeth control how long the switch makes contact with the antenna, and then that creates a pattern, and those patterns can be decoded by a Wi-Fi receiver.
This all sounds very steampunk.
So awesome. Yeah. Like, there's videos about it as well on the article that I found, and it looks really, really cool. And also, what I like about it is that all the objects are aesthetically pleasing. They're in these lovely bright colors, and it's like everything works, and it's great. So, for example, with if you pour detergent out of a laundry bottle, for instance, which is one of the demos that they did, the speed at which the gears are turning tells you how much soap is flowing out.
Okay.
Then the interaction between the 3D printed switch and the antenna wirelessly transmits that data. Then the receiver can track how much detergent you have left because, of course, you're pouring it out in the first place. When it dips below a certain amount, it can automatically send a message to your Amazon app to order more.
Oh. So hang on. I mean, if we take this forward then, we could be expecting to see stuff like laundry detergent bottles with this already built in.
Yes. So automatically ordering laundry detergent bottles.
Mm, and because it's wireless, it's not connected to anything. Everything is sort of mechanically built within that thing. It's therefore waterproof, and you won't have batteries, and you don't have all this electronic connected to it. It's like a mechanical transmitter at the same time speaking on behalf of you.
Yeah.
That's very clever.
Exactly. And the thing is, right, definitely the University of Washington researchers have predicted this because they've also printed several other different tools that were able to sense and send information successfully to other connected devices. They printed out a wind meter, they printed out a water flow meter and a scale. They also printed Wi-Fi input widgets such as buttons, knobs and sliders that can be customized to communicate with other smart devices in the home. And this is to hopefully enable and introduce what they call a rich ecosystem of talking objects that can sense and interact their surroundings.
I like the idea of this.
Mm. So, so cool. Like, it took me too long to read the article and figure out what was going on. But the fact that, like, a 3D printed gear and switch mechanism can wirelessly communicate with everything else in your house is mind-blowing to me. Like, this is a huge step forward, I think, in terms of like how objects are going to interact with us for the rest of our lives, pretty
and
much.
And the beauty of it is, with them being mechanical as well, there is no way that they can be manipulated from outside. Right?
Yeah. What's interesting about this is because it's 3D printed, if something snaps or breaks, you just replace it by 3D printing that replacement part and put it back in. So you don't have to re-buy another object. You just reprint back the replacement bits.
Right.
Yeah. There doesn't need to be any mass production of it because you can just produce it at home.
My brain
thought print and produce at the same time and it just came out
Whatever.
The point being, very, very cool. And the fact that they're making it publicly available and you can print it with the material, with any kind of plastic really, as long as you have the material, you're good to go.
So you need plastic, you need some kind of conductor material melted into the plastic itself, so that you don't even need one of those chips that everything goes to, because the object itself, as they spin or as they flip and flap and snap, is already communicating with whatever you need it to connect it to.
Yeah.
The only concern I have this is because it needs to be mechanical, it would be chunky. I would imagine right now, because I saw that video that goes on the bottle, that thing that gear spins. One of the things about Wi-Fi enabled chip kind of things is that it's small and everything's getting smaller and smaller.
Right.
It's interesting to see how this developed though. If we can make other objects move, maybe not so obviously, with a little movement, can that already...
Like the size of watch movement or something like
and
that.
And if watch movement and a gear that small... Can be incorporated with plastic and whatever other metals, and that communicates.
See, what I'm curious about is to see if this will work with any kind of... If you can get specific with it. Let's say you attach a button to the side of your fridge door and you open it, and that could maybe tell you like what's in your fridge or something like that. That would be so useful.
Mm.
But because this relies on movement to do a thing, a very specific thing, it's kind of single use.
I'd prefer if my fridge said to me, Richard, you've opened me 18 times today. Maybe you should do it a little bit less, you know?
Maybe you should have that the doorway leading to a fridge before you even approach the door, saying that, are you sure? And as you go closer and closer, they'll tell you, are you sure? Are you sure? Are you sure?
Rich, you've opened the fridge 5 times at 3 a.m. in the past hour. Let's not do that, shall we?
It's so true, though. It's so true. Right, time for some music. Cake up next with Short Skirt, Long Jacket. When we come back, talking about single-use coffee cups. This is an interesting
idea. No longer single-use?
Okay, don't go anywhere. You are listening to Enterprise Biz Bites on BFM 89.9.
Barcelona, Fiorentina, Manchester United, BFM 89.9.
Welcome back to Biz Bites, folks. My name is Rich Bradbury, in the studio with
Christine Wong
and Majida Hashim.
So Germany has come up with the best solution to single-use coffee cups, or so they claim.
Yeah, I mean, I think it works pretty well. So, if you've been following a lot of green initiatives and you're trying to be zero waste and things like that, one of the most common enemy is the disposable cup.
Yes, and the plastic straw.
Right. Disposable cup more than ever, because plastic straw, you choose not to have it. But whether it's hot drinks, cold drinks, and you're taking it away, it's always going to be cups. And sometimes it's like, genuinely, you go there and you're like, I want a coffee now, but then I did not bring my tumbler, or I did not bring my own water container, and I will buy a plastic cup, and you have the guilty conscience, and you're thinking, but you know, because the big problem with it is people are just lazy.
Of course.
So what they have done is there's a city in German called Freiburg. And they want people to use a reusable cup. So what they have done is they've created this Freiburg cup, and it's this nice plastic. It is a plastic cup, and they've called it the Freiburg cup. And they've gotten about 100 businesses around the city. All of them will have stickers all over their shops to say that you can buy a drink with that cup. And then when you need to dispose it, instead of throwing it in the trash, leave it at this one of the shops that has the sticker. And then that person will sterilize it and reuse it again. So it's these cups that get passed around the whole city, and it can be used up to 400 times.
And that's how the plague starts.
I mean, sterilized before it's used again.
Listen before you judge.
Right, come on.
So it's interesting, because one of the biggest problems is not actually using the cup, because it's convenient. The problem is that when you use the cup, you throw it away, it lands in a landfill, and a lot of them have this plastic lining that will take forever to decompose.
Yeah.
An average plastic bag bag takes 400 years. That means the plastic bag used by your parents are actually still on this earth. So we don't want any more paper cups in the landfill. Why don't we share a bunch of cups together?
You make it sound so appealing.
It's so interesting because you it's as cheap as a euro.
Right.
So use 1 euro and as a deposit. So when you throw away the cup, when you leave the cup at another place that has this sticker, you take back your euro. And so you don't have to bring your own cup. The cups are shared by everybody in the city and can be reused up to 400 times.
It's a great idea.
You're essentially renting a cup for
a
while.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's like crowd sharing a cup. The fiber cup, the problem that they are starting to have, there is a problem, is that about 15% of the cups have gone missing because tourists are taking it as souvenirs.
Yeah, of course.
Oh,
and
dear.
I think that's pretty interesting. I would have taken one if I was there. Because €1 for a souvenir Freiburg cup that has the city on it. But they're saying it's a good price to pay for the environment if somebody takes it back, and hopefully they will reuse it again. But for the people who are within the city itself and they're all sharing the cups, you are taking so much disposable cups away from the ecosystem itself. And we've seen all these ads of people of these terrible ads, like the whole bus or the whole train, all filled with cups, because that's how much disposable cups that we use in a day. Germany itself uses 300,000 coffee cups every hour.
Oh. What?
That's an hour. Okay, quarter million cups for an hour. They use 2.8 billion coffee cups a year. Of which every 13 minutes a cup is tossed out.
Wow.
So if you can get this, every 13 minutes a cup is passed down from one shop to another and then sterilized and then reused, it saves this 300,000 cups an hour from going to the landfill. The biggest consumer of paper cups, however, is the US, which consumed 23 billion paper cups in 2010 alone. On average, an American throws away 25 billion styrofoam cups every year. That's Americans. And 2.5 million plastic beverage bottles every hour. So if we can get a sharing community, and that's the magnitude. You can actually get everybody on these cups and immediately make like a big change. Overnight.
It's getting people to adopt it, though. That's
the
issue.
I was
right?
about to say that the issue here is not with the product, but with the attitude towards the product.
Yeah.
Yeah. But people now you don't have to bring that a tumbler with you anymore.
Right. I like bringing my tumbler, though.
Yeah. If you have gotten into the habit and you're proud of your tumbler and you want to bring it with you, that's great.
Yeah.
But it's for those that you maybe have forgotten the tumbler, or you are just, did not bring my tumbler and I want a cup of coffee.
Yeah.
But I'm conscious and you're feeling a little bit guilty because you know that it's going to land in the landfill. Then pay a euro. That's how much in Malaysian ringgit? About 5 ringgit-ish?
Something like that,
5 ringgit. And it's a deposit. And after you're done with it, you don't throw it away. You pass it to another person, take your 5 ringgit back, and you're off on your way.
It's going to end up in the Urban Dictionary or something, the Freiburg Cup. Something like that.
Oh, no.
Yeah, right.
I'll be on the lookout very now, please. Not right before lunch. Thank you.
Okie dokie. Right, time for a break. We've got some Foo Fighters coming up with Rope when we come by our final story of the day about how Singapore drone frees your fingers to take photos. All coming up after these messages. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Biz Bytes here on BFM 89.9.
Balanced Frank Medium. BFM 89.9.
Welcome back to Biz Bytes, folks. It's the final story of the day, how Singapore drone, it frees your fingers to take photos. Is this something we need? Is it exciting? What do you use?
Okay, so what it is that researchers in Singapore have found a way around what they call the frustrating task of framing it and taking photos while manually piloting a drone. So one of the big issues with taking photos with a drone is that often the whole point of having a drone is that it can take photos from angles that, like, humans can't.
Right.
But the problem with that is that you then cannot really frame the photo exactly necessarily the way that you might want it to, especially if it's somewhere that's very far away from you because you can't see what
right.
the heck the drone
especially
is seeing.
If you have one of those aerial shots from really high up, right?
Yes. So this innovation called Expose, X and then P-O-S-E, works in several stages. The user tells the drone to take photographs from different angles of the subject. Then the shot is composed by essentially moving objects on photos from a sample gallery. So they, like, let's say you're taking a photo of, like, a statue. Then they'll be like, let's look at other photos of statues. And then they kind of move everything around. And then they take lots, and then they look at all the different positions from which a statue has been taken, a photo of. And then the drone finds the best position to take the photo of the subject.
Okay.
It's kind of like machine learning, I guess, sort of-ish.
And burst shot all rolled into one.
Sort of, yeah. And then no manual piloting of the drone is needed. So you just kind of tell the drone, can you take the statue? And then they're like, cool. And the drone just figures it out for itself. It does drone off. Correct. So the researchers from the National University of Singapore say that their prototype relies mainly on a single monocular camera and works reliably even where there's no GPS signal, which is another big thing about drones, is that some remotely controlled drones take their cue from GPS, which requires the drone pilot to know where the image is in respect to the drone, which adds another layer of complexity to the process. And this exposed drone thing is supposed to bypass all of that.
Very cool.
Yes.
So you just you essentially grab the drone in your hand, throw it up in the air, and say, "I would like a photograph of that statue. That's somewhere over there. Please get me the best angle."
Yes.
And off it goes.
Yes, pretty much.
Huh. That's pretty interesting.
Yeah. What they say is that in the future, they think that drones will be even smaller than they are now. So we'll probably be able to carry them around as a smartphone camera, throw it in the air, and then just take photos.
I'm looking forward to that day. I know Jeff will hate it, but I really like it. He's got this real thing against drones, hasn't he?
I'm a bit scared of this because it's a bit invasive, isn't it? It's a bit intrusive. It can just take it anywhere, take pictures. Let's say I want to take a selfie and this thing. And it was like, throw it in the air, it's taking a picture of me off every angle of me. So
I mean, I'm not going to lie, the narcissist in me is just saying, like, great. I need to know what the best angle of my face is. Thank you very much.
It could discover angles that you never thought possible before, and you go like, oh, that's I never thought of that way.
At least then you know to avoid those angles later on in the future, though, right? But I don't know. I think a lot of people are trying to fix these problems with drones and trying to figure out a more effective way of taking photos with them. Because there have been quite a lot of different firms and startups that have been trying to aim for flying cameras without the complexity. For example, a US-based startup, Skydio, is working on a drone that follows its operator using onboard cameras to capture a 360-degree view of its environments. Another firm, Squadron System, offers an autonomous flying camera called HexoPlus. A user can program it via a smartphone app. Then another company called the Motor Group offers a drone that flies itself and hovers above the user.
I've seen that used, actually, the Lily.
Yes.
It's brilliant.
Yes. So hopefully this will kind of...
But also very creepy.
Mm.
Yeah, it literally feels like you have this little robot following you around wherever you go.
Yeah.
You know, and it just flies and buzzes around you and all... Yeah,
so it's like a robot Tinkerbell.
Yeah, almost. Move. Almost, without giving you little pixie dust or anything like that.
Oh, well, then there's no point then, clearly.
Right. The interesting part about this, because it goes out and it takes interesting angles of you, it can actually be programmed to take every angle of you.
Yeah.
And if it's fed into, say, a 3D kind of program... Ooh. It can actually make a 3D model of you, wouldn't it?
Then we're going to be getting into AR, aren't we?
Yeah, and then 3D printing and all of these things. Yeah. Very and then you can have like a 3D, it generates its own avatar of you.
Well, I the future really is now. So.
All right. Right. What a good show today. We've had a lot of fun today. We started off about how emails are still giving us issues many, many, many years later. We gave you some options to how you can fix some of your emailing problems. If you missed any part of it, head over to the App Store and download the BFM app, or over on Google Play. Have a listen back a little bit later on. We spoke about
Spotify and how they've rolled out this new feature called... Wrapped, and it features your top songs for 2017 and the ones that got away.
And then we talked about new 3D printed objects that can connect to Wi-Fi without the use of electronics.
That's a great idea.
And then we spoke about how cup sharing could be a new thing now with the Freiburg cup. So it gets rid of single-use coffee cups. I think it's a great idea coming up from Germany, of course.
And lastly, we wrapped up with a Singapore drone that frees your fingers to take photos.
Yeah, okay. That's all we've got time for today. We will be back, of course, tomorrow from the same time. At the same place. But don't go anywhere, because coming up after the 1 o'clock news, it is the Breakfast Grill replay. Question for you: will robots and automation replace human jobs in the future? The economist Andrew McAfee thinks so, but only the kinds that we are familiar with now. So the Breakfast Grill had a chat with him as he took us through what the jobs of the future might look like. That's all coming up after the 1 o'clock news. Right, that's all we've got time for today then. On behalf of Majida Hashim and Christine Wong, my name is Rich Bradbury, and we'll be back tomorrow. Music coming up. It is Blondie with Dreaming here on BFM 89.9, the business station.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.